at Digging Deeper, we want to do everything we possibly can to protect these babies from sickening creatures. We refuse to sit and watch from the bleachers. The ugly truth. Hard to listen to, but impossible to ignore. Here's Struggle Jennings and his daughter Brianna with a cry for help. And then we'll get started on the ugly truth.
And these blurry eyes gonna be a horror story where the scary dies. Angels fly with their guns out, causing hell of fire when Mother Mary cries. I heard the lies, but I seen the truth. They gonna silence you if you bring the proofs. They gonna call you crazy when you call them out. They try to box us in, but we can box them out. Don't dare ask me what I'm talking about. If you ain't listened yet, then you'll never hear it. We gonna pray to God and we gonna stand up. Got an army here, I know the devil fear. Yeah, the future's clear when you know the past. And that train is coming and it's rolling fast. Gotta fix the path that's on a broken track. There's no time for us to be holding back. Now we need some leaders to wake up the sleepers. Make believers out of non-believers. Let freedom of speech ring through the speakers. Take the filthy rich to the cleaners. Shine our light, baby, high beamers. Don't let sex crimes be a misdemeanor. Protect these babies from these sickening creatures. I refuse to sit and watch from the bleachers.
Save me, I can't save myself. Save me.
Millions and millions of children are being persecuted all over the world.
Yes.
Persecuted and trafficked.
And used.
And abused, raped, and killed. Yep. So that's a message we want to get across every time we talk about the ugly truth. Every time we have a chance to go on the air, we want to make you aware. This is national
Child Abuse Awareness Month.
Thank you. We do a lot with trafficking, but this one is Child Abuse Awareness Month. So watch out for the signs. Know your signs. Know the hotline number. Visit our articles at diggingdeeper.net. Just type in child abuse. Unfortunately, that keyword will pop up several articles. Mm-hmm. But one of them is a hotline, of course. You'll see that. Tonight, we're going to talk about a little different ugly truth, and it's a catchy title here. It kind of could have a dual meaning.
It could.
So you have Israeli Christian persecution. Three words. Mm-hmm. Israeli Christian persecution, or is it Israeli Christian persecution? So it was an interesting topic that you dug up because you decided that we were going to put this on the air. With all the different things that are going on in the world, it was kind of a surprise to me. So you want to tell us about it, how you found this, and why you decided to go with this catchy title and what this is all about?
All right. Well, first of all, Tucker Carlson, he always stirs the pot, doesn't he?
He's a pot stirrer and definitely a journalist who does. He's not afraid.
That's true. So he had an interview with a pastor from Bethlehem.
Okay. Very controversial interview.
It was very controversial because a lot of Christians side with Israel, no questions asked.
Christians, Israel, that should be together, right? You think?
Yeah.
Wow. Good job digging deeper, because actually, here I am, LVIII years old.
Yep.
58.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that until you taught me that this last, yesterday?
Yeah.
That, okay, I'm not going to give it away here. There's a difference, folks. Keep listening.
Yes. So how does a government of Israel actually treat Christians?
Yeah, because...
So that was his question. So he was talking to the pastor from Bethlehem. People are saying that, well, he's from the West Bank and it's different. But I think what we need to do is just listen to the, I just did a clip. This is an hour long. I'm not going to watch, we're not going to watch the whole thing. I want you guys to watch the whole interview. Okay. But I did take a clip when he asked about how Christians are treated.
Okay. So how are Christians treated in Israel? Right. They should be good, right?
Let's watch this.
Israel is very often described in American media as the only democracy in the region. Democracy, of course, suggests religious freedom, pluralism. How free are Christians to practice Christianity in Israel?
We cannot deny that there are many freedoms in the state of Israel.
Yes.
But it's not as free as people think. And let me give you an example. And I know that this might come across as shocking to many. Do you know that evangelicals as churches are not officially recognized in Israel?
Not recognized by the government of Israel?
By the way, by the government of Israel. Evangelism is illegal in Israel. And
wait, I'm sorry, may I ask you to stop there? What does that mean, evangelism is illegal in Israel?
It's against the law to evangelize in Israel and to proselytize, as they call it.
Christian evangelizing is illegal in Israel?
The conversion, and so if you are a Jewish person and you convert to Christianity, you will go through many legal challenges to recognize your marriage certificate, to recognize a lot of your rights, because again, evangelical Christianity is not officially recognized as a denomination in the state of Israel. Many Israeli politicians tried to pass laws that prevent Christians from sharing their faith. And so there is always this struggle and this tension about how much can Christians express their faith. Now, the biggest problem Christians are facing is in East Jerusalem, where they are constantly targeted by radical groups, radical Jewish groups, let's be clear. Sometimes some churches, there was an attempt to burn them. Oftentimes, and this is, you can look at it on social media all over the place, Christian clergy being spit at by these groups. They write very offensive slogans on the wall. There is strong incitements against Christians, especially in the old city of Jerusalem. So
what kind of slogans? I'm sorry to ask you to pause. What kind of slogans, what kind of graffiti is written against Christians in Jerusalem?
We don't want Christians, get out of here. Some of it is very, very offensive, actually, that I can say. A lot of it is calling for Christians, whether Christians or Armenian Christians, it's a small Christian community, part of the Christian community in East Jerusalem. We don't want you here, you should leave. So there are all these incitements against Christians, especially in Jerusalem. And one might say that, well, we expect to see radical groups in every faith tradition. And I say, of course, yes, that exists. The problem is when they go unchecked and they're never held accountable, even when there are arsons, I mean, attacks on churches. Oftentimes, the complaint of the heads of churches in Jerusalem, the Catholics, the Orthodox, the Protestant, is that it seems that those who do these attacks are never held accountable. In fact, I think it was around 2 years ago when the heads of churches said in a statement that they feel there is a systematic attempt to empty Jerusalem of Christians. I mean, these are strong words. Look at that statement from the heads of churches. So the impression that it's flowery here for Christians is definitely not true. But beyond that, we have to look at the wider political spectrum, because at the end of the day, Israel wants to be both democratic and Jewish. And many question whether that is possible. And that's why, as I said, even Israeli human rights organizations have called out the policies and discrimination policies of Israel. The nation state law, for example, states, this is a law that was passed by the Knesset. It states that the right for self-determination in the state of Israel is exclusive to the Jewish people only. So this is a law that was passed by the Knesset that makes Jews superior in the state of Israel, because they are the only one, they have exclusively the right for self-determination. So whether it's on incitement against Christians in Jerusalem, whether it's in the fact that not all Christian churches are recognized, or whether it's the structure of the state of Israel as a whole, many have pointed that it's not really fully as flowery as people think, where there is just full freedom, especially freedom of religion. And even in this war, we've seen academics targeted. We've seen social media being monitored by the Israeli government against Israeli citizenship, what you can say and what you cannot say. And if you say anything, you know, just that, for example, you what happened on October 7th, you could be put in jail. I mean, I'm not saying I support what happened on October 7th. I'm saying that even Israel now is targeting and monitoring the social media. And many of the Palestinian citizens of Israel, because many people forget that 20% of the citizens of Israel are actually Palestinians, 20% or so. So they're afraid to even speak out and say anything even that sounds, that has sympathy with the people of Gaza, because they feel they will be targeted or they might lose their jobs. Again, I invite people to come and listen to stories and understand what's happening. Talk to church leaders. Talk to church leaders in Jerusalem about the challenges and difficulties they are facing right now, before the war or during the war in Jerusalem.
This whole story about Israel is such an interesting one, and so deep that people don't think about, and we just, it deserves some time. They don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They believe he was just a good prophet.
Not even that.
Not even that. He was
bad.
An imposter.
Yeah.
He was persecuted and was killed.
Yeah.
And yet the Bible says differently, and so they don't believe the Bible. Is that correct?
They don't believe the New Testament. They have only the Old Testament, and the and it may not even be.
Okay, it stops there at the Old Testament, but right. but all of the Old Testament prophesies the coming of this guy that was exactly what they witnessed, and to be persecuted and killed off the way that the Bible said he was going to get killed off. So everything, according to Isaiah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all those people, it all came true. So yeah. How could they not see it? How can Jews not see?
They remain unable for now to see it.
So here we go.
I think
that, go ahead, say it.
I think possibly God is giving them a veil over their eyes.
Thank you. You know, I knew I had a concept of coming around to what we had read just prior to that. And you just perfectly transitioned into what I was thinking. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Because there's got to be a reason why they can't see it.
Right.
Right. And God does that.
And
if that's scripture.
And if they are truly faith-filled, if they are just Jews because their parents were Jews,
mm-hmm.
and they're not practicing Jews as they say it, then they're not faith-filled. They won't see it regardless.
Faith-filled means you have the Holy Spirit, which means you're saved?
No, faith-filled... No, that's not how I'm using that term right now. I'm just mean that they're following God.
Different from them. Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Because they don't have the Holy Spirit, unfortunately.
Old Jews or new Jews?
No, I mean, Messianic Jews do.
Well, okay.
Because they're following Christ.
Right. So once the Jews convert, they have the Holy Spirit.
Correct.
Everybody gets that.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
This is deep, folks.
So
welcome to the ugly truth, but there's some good.
Yep.
The Holy Spirit.
So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace, and those are the Messianic Jews. And if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. The Jewish faith is based on works.
Right. That's the trifecta here. So
yes.
The three things they were saying is that they can't see it, it's based on works, and they don't believe that Jesus is actually God.
Right. Exactly.
So so if you blindly support the Jews, which we love the Jewish people, don't get us wrong on this program and start sending a bunch of hate mail, although, you know, whatever, it gets filtered. But just think through this. Don't just blindly support something because there's a TV ad on or a politician in your ear or your favorite personality saying that you should support this. Look into it.
Right. There are reports that the Jews in Israel detest the Christians to the point of violence. Mm-hmm. I found more than one post where Jewish protesters are yelling, spitting, and calling for the death of Christians. Why?
Why? Because they believe that Christians worship the idol. That's what you were telling me earlier.
Mm-hmm. They believe that Christians worship the idol of Christ, not the risen Savior, our Messiah, Jesus Christ.
Who hasn't arrived for them.
Right. So because they don't see him as the Messiah, they say that it's godly to kill Christians. Just like in Old Testament times.
Hold on. Does it say in Old Testament times if you have an idol, you get killed? That's not a death sentence.
There were cases where when God said, leave all your idols behind, and they took them anyway.
That's God's doing, not the law.
Right.
I mean, not the people like killing them. That's just God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this just, can you get it, people? Hello? Don't follow this stuff. Jews, wake up.
Yep.
We love you, but listen, Jesus Christ is for you too, which means God is for you. The right way, the truth is for you. It's all good. If you've believed, like anything in the news, kind of like if you've believed the wrong thing and you can't admit it, we've done that, haven't we all?
Yeah.
We just kind of went, oh, geez, I can't believe I fell for that. Like the guy that called us saying he needed some gas money and it was a ministry deal and we just kept feeding him money until it got into the hundreds and I was like, I don't think he's real anymore. So yeah, we got, you know, you get duped sometimes.
You do get duped.
You have to just admit it and you have to learn from it and you have to say, hey, I was wrong about this. This is the truth now. And so if you have been one of those people who believed differently, and it's time to face the music or face the truth, then it's not too late.
Right. So there is a Christian group that have been living in Jerusalem's old city for over 1,600 years. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They are the Armenians.
Right. You heard about the pastor talking about them there.
Right. And Jeremy Lefredo?
Yeah.
Said, I spent some time in the Christian Armenian quarter of Jerusalem's old city where Israeli police, a Jewish real estate firm, and Israeli settlers armed with automatic weapons, attack dogs, and bulldozers have been regularly attacking and attempting to ethnically cleanse this community. So let's watch this little interview.
Wow, so
it's just a short, there's a whole report on this, but this is just a short clip of an interview of one of the Armenians.
Okay.
My family has been here since 1919. Whenever they come over here and tell us that, yeah, this is our land, this is our property, my family's presence alone predates the State of Israel. So to use the we were here before argument, it doesn't really stick with Armenians over here because we've been here since the 4th century. We're dealing with a private company, with the State of Israel, and it's an uphill battle, but everyone over here, their resolve is unmatched, basically. We will stay here to the very end. This is our home. This is our heritage, this is our livelihood, so we will stay here till the very end, no matter the consequence.
Mm-hmm. And you had a report on that a few weeks ago about the origin of Palestine, and then you referenced Israel in that, and how so many people think that history is one way or the other, and they're just so wrong. You just dig into this and find out. This man just told you his family's been there since the 4th century, so there's nobody's going to tell him that I was here before you.
Right, right.
Unless they were there in the 3rd
Jews,
century.
The Jews were promised that land. That is true, according to the Bible. That is the truth. And they were there. But because Israel, as a nation, kept sinning, God dissipated them and sent them into several different regions.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't actually there during the Ottoman Empire.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Armenians never left. So that's the difference there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But the Armenians are not the Palestinians.
Right,
the Palestinians.
Right.
So, anyway, Israel's aim is destroying Christianity, literally. Here's more evidence. Netanyahu's coalition members prepared a bill. Let's listen to this report
here. Uh-oh, imprisoned Christians for sharing the gospel. What?
Yeah.
Let's listen to this.
Conservative Christian leaders are calling on Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to stop a bill proposed by members of his coalition to make it criminal to tell people about Jesus in Israel. Our Jerusalem correspondent Daniel Cohen is live near Tel Aviv with more. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Allison. Good morning, everyone. A big story just before, days before Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter, sacred time for Christians. Two ultra-Orthodox members of Prime Minister Netanyahu's coalition have introduced a bill that would punish believers for sharing the gospel of Jesus with prison time. United Torah Judaism Knesset members Moshe Gafni and Yaakov Asher introduced legislation last week making it illegal to share in conversation or produce content online, in print, or by mail. Their explanation of the bill emphasizes a warning to stop Christians in particular.
Outrageous.
Yeah, so you would think a free country like Israel, right, wouldn't discriminate. But there are still those in the Knesset, which is their government, I guess, who are radical to that point. As Christ followers, we know that the world will attack and we will be persecuted. We understand that because Jesus said so.
He did in Matthew 5:11-12.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say?
Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me.
Yep.
Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And John 15:19-20.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to take that one?
Take it.
All right. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. You hear a lot of world there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It hates you. It hates you. Everybody hates me. Remember what I told you, the Lord says. A servant is not greater than his master. This is Jesus' words. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also.
Mm-hmm.
That was when he sent his disciples out?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes. According to MJ Truth Ultra, he says they are scratching the surface of the Rothschild-Balfour Declaration.
Oh, this is where you go deep. Oh,
right.
Wow. Look
right.
At this. We're going to go just a little bit long tonight, but
just
this is important.
But I needed to throw the verses in and get both sides of the story there, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I'm glad you did.
What does he mean by that? I looked into some of this information, and here is just some of what I found. The Balfour Declaration is a letter written by British Foreign Secretary Arthur Balfour to Lionel Walter Rothschild. It was a public statement issued by the British government in 1917 during the First World War, announcing its support for the establishment of a national home for the Jewish people in Palestine, then an Ottoman region with a small minority Jewish population. So there were some Jews who stayed, but most of them were spread throughout the nations. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is the first indication that there may be more to it when I saw the name Rothschild attached to it.
Yeah, I started clearing my throat. Are we going to watch the video?
Yes, this is just a short little 3-minute video of Jacob Rothschild.
Here's the interview with Jacob Rothschild explaining how the declaration came about? Wow, pretty cool.
Let's check it out. In modern Jewish history, and it begins with three words. Dear Lord Rothschild.
Dear Lord Rothschild, I have much pleasure in conveying to you, on behalf of His Majesty's government, the following declaration of sympathy with Jewish Zionist aspirations, which has been submitted to and approved by the Cabinet.
Why was it that this letter was sent by the Foreign Secretary to your great uncle Walter?
It's an interesting question because it was primarily a movement from Eastern Europe, but they didn't clarify who was in charge of that movement. And in addition, it was, after all, in Great Britain. So they felt that the Rothschild family should be the one to whom it was addressed. And Walter was Lord Rothschild, and he was a Zionist. And those really are the background reasons.
So Walter received the Balfour Declaration, and I have a copy here. And I wonder if I could possibly ask you to read it for us.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I'm going to put on my spectacles to make sure I read it accurately. His Majesty's government view with favour the establishment of Palestine as a national home for the Jewish people and will use their best endeavours to facilitate the achievement of this object, it being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine or the rights and political status enjoyed by Jews in any other country. I should be grateful if you would bring this declaration to the knowledge of the Zionist Federation. Yours, Arthur Balfour.
And here it is, the Balfour Declaration. What do you feel when you see it here?
I genuinely feel it's one of the most extraordinary moments in the history of the Jewish people. If you think it took 3,000 years to get to this. And then you say, how did this miracle happen? It's the most incredible piece of opportunism. I mean, if you think you had an impoverished would-be scientist, Chaim Weizmann, who somehow gets to England, meets a few people, including members of my family, seduces them. He has such great charm and conviction. He gets to Balfour, and he unbelievably persuades Balfour and Lloyd George, the Prime Minister, and most of the ministers, that this idea of the national home for Jews should be allowed to take place. I mean, it's so, so unlikely. Then he's, you know, starts to fight a difficult battle with the British cabinet, and this letter goes through five drafts, as you know. And in the end, it comes out as a rather compromising letter. I mean, the essential point is there for the Jewish community to fasten on to. You have the first bit, which promises a national home rather than the national home, and then you have the bit that nothing that's to be done should in any way harm the Arab community. But you come back to the big point, which is that this is perhaps the greatest event in Jewish life for thousands of years, and it's a miracle.
So basically, Rothschild says, we helped create Israel. Aren't we so good? I found this quote. The Balfour Declaration expired on October 31st, 2023. What? Israel registered themselves as a corporate entity in 1947. You cannot register a corporation twice under the same name in 2023. After 70 plus years, and it be accepted. Israel as a corporation has expired. China has removed Israel from their maps, and the last thing left for Israel to do is to wage a great war. Really? I really kind of questioned this one. It seems far-fetched. I looked up the number referenced in the next soundbite below. I found the incorporation document for the State of Israel filed in the UK. This site actually states that it was registered on February 23, 2023, and the annual statement was filed March 14th of 2024. This just shows that Israel is a registered corporation under British law. So does that mean that it is now a new entity as of February 23? Or did they re-up it late? I don't know. A quick search on X for the Balfour Declaration gave me this popular post, among others. I didn't grab the sound bites for this for the sake of time, but you can listen and hear the explanation and determine for yourself what you believe is factual. I'm still wavering on that part. But it definitely is interesting history. But that's all I've got for the ugly truth tonight. So let's close it on out.
And thank you for listening to The Ugly Truth, because
they can't stop us, 'cause we're ready to fight, trying to brainwash us, but we won't let freedom die, the whole world's brainwashed.
Everybody pick a team, start a riot in the streets,
the whole world's brainwashed.
It's us against them, and ain't you against me.
The Ugly Truth, hard to listen to, but impossible to ignore.